your heart beats faster and faster.
Except for the fact that what's not free is all the things that go wrong here, because Sean and I pay for every single one of them.
Hey, gang, we are back live in studios, and we're the G&D chat room all night long.
That's right. You can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
This is the Ghostman, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, March 1st broadcast of Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. It's broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Absurd Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for the Black Vault Radio Network and the Para X Radio Network.
Absolutely, little brother. Tonight's guest, Marley Gibson, author of Ghost Hunters and co-author of Christmas Miracles, guys. She stops by to talk ghost and what goes bumping tonight on the G&D Show.
Well, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your hosts for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. Well, Sean, I'm going to try something never before done on radio. I'm going to unplug everything and plug it right back in and see if we're still on the air. Hold on. I kid you not, I'm doing it piece by piece here. Hold on. Other paranormal shows have been trying to do that to us for years. Let's see here. All have tried. Ah, man, I don't know what's going on, Sean. What is going on here? We're not even broadcasting. Oh, hold on. Maybe we are. I think it's yours here. Try it now. Try it now, Sean.
What do you want to try?
that's something. At least that's something. We got something there.
We got something going on, guys. But that's our show. That's how we broadcast the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show since its origin, the beginning of the G&D Show. We flew by the seat of our pants, and that's what makes it such a good broadcast for you guys every Sunday night.
Well, if you say so, Sean. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out how to make everything work. But, yeah.
Push the red button. The red button. Stay away from the red.
Nothing seems to work for me tonight, Sean. So we're just going to go the way we always do, by the seat of our pants here. Hold on. Let me pour this Coke here into a glass. And there wasn't anything else into that glass before I poured it in there, really.
I thought it was something better than a Coke. Well, I got Miller Lite tonight, guys. Less filling, great taste. The taste that won't slow you down, Miller Lite. And I switched from Tecate. I was on Tecate pretty heavy earlier. That's the Mexican cerveza made in Mexico earlier. And Well, I downed about 12 or 13 of those to get the show going, and now we switched to Miller Lite. So, well, there you go.
You know, I'm lighting up a Perdomo Reserve.
Perdomo!
Perdomo Reserve Cabinet Series here to get me through the night, because right now I think I'm going to need it. Nothing's going right here.
I think you are. And we, if anybody out there hasn't noticed, we did switch to an hour, guys. We switched back to an hour. Ain't that right, Demon Hunter?
We did. Oh, I'm over here. Ah, there we go. Ah. That's better.
There you are.
This studio, you know what? I'm so used to coming in at 9 o'clock that I figured I only have an hour tonight. No problem. That's easy. Well, you know what? It takes just as much work to get ready for an hour as it does for 2 hours.
It sure does. If you got it, it's just kind of like if you make more money, you spend more money. If you got less time, you spend more time. So it seems the way that's what's going on. But, you know, we got so much to talk about this week. Oh, my God, what a week it was, Demon Hunter. You want to start or you want me to start or what's going on here?
Well, you know, we were talking about doing our tip of the week. Did you get any ideas for a tip of the week this week, Sean? Our paranormal.
You know what? I got a couple ideas. What do you got? I've been reading. Remember the subscription, not the subscription, but the magazine I've been buying, Paranormal Monthly. It's Paranormal Magazine. I've been getting a lot of feedback out of that magazine. I've been reading a lot of the articles. They got a lot of cool stuff they're talking about, and I wanted to go into that tonight because I think it's important for ghost hunters everywhere to learn as we learn step by step because I've got some cool stuff to hit on. What do you got, Demon Hunter?
Well, I went out on an investigation this week, and I used the paranormal puck.
Oh, my goodness. You didn't.
I did. And let me tell you, very interesting.
Yeah.
But my tip this week for going out and investigating. If you're going to on an investigation, get a scale for the place that you are going to. Figure out the number of people that you can take into that place, and one person will not be heard by another if they're in different parts of the house, and don't go over that number. Okay. And, you know, just because a new piece of equipment comes out, don't shove everybody into the room to try and use it. Because I went out with the Scare Society this last night, actually.
Okay.
The East Coast Scare Society. And had a grand old time. We went out to a cool location, the Mazir Mansion. The only reason I remember that is like Brazier with an M.
Brazier, yeah, Brazier, it sticks in my mind. It's kind of a catchy kind of thing.
I like that. But I went out and I set up this whole paranormal puck system. And it was weird because the room we decided to set up in, the room where they got the most activity, was also the room where a dead bird had somehow gotten into a corner and we couldn't get it out of there.
So the ghost of a dead bird.
Well, the room reeked. It reeked of dead bird. So we set up the paranormal puck, and what is the word that comes up every fourth word or so? Bird. Remove.
Bird.
Bird, remove. Bird, remove quickly.
Wow.
And I was like, now the funny thing is with the puck, you have to disregard words that come up more than a certain amount of times because they tend to be words that are reacting to static EVP. EVP that's always there.
Okay.
But how do you ignore the fact that the one thing that you could tell about that room was a dead frickin' bird, and it just kept saying, bird, bird, bird.
And of course, we're talking about the paranormal puck, brother, that Digital Dowsing has come up with. That's digitaldowsing.com. They come up with a new way to communicate with spirits, they believe, and we're trying that out right now. That's what Demon Hunter's been checking out.
We've been doing some testing. So I went, as you know, I took it first into my home. Tried it there, and it kept coming up with the word coins where I had blessed coins. Took it out into the woods, and it kept coming up with murder, where a girl had been murdered. Took it to this third location. I've got one more location after this, where I learned how to scramble the words. So the idea is if you scramble them and the same words keep coming up, then you might have something. Well, the same words didn't keep coming up. It didn't keep asking for bird, which, you know, kind of disappointed me. My mistake was I forgot to ask it about the bird after.
You know, mine kept saying loudmouth girlfriend. Loudmouth girlfriend. And, you know, it's I don't know. It might be positive. I don't know. It could be happening here. I don't know. But there
the comments
is something
of Sean Burris represent Sean Burris. So.
loudmouth.
But we scrambled it, and unfortunately, we weren't thinking. That's why I have to take it to one more place. We weren't thinking. Right. We didn't start asking it about the bird to see if it would react to the bird. I had a bunch of people in the room, and they were asking. They started asking questions about the soldiers, and it kept coming up and saying soldiers. And when we asked it how many soldiers were there, it said a troop.
Wow.
And then we went on and we asked it, you know, what were they doing there? And they said, monument broken. And sure enough, I asked the woman who runs the place, and or monument power broken. And sure enough, the power to the monument isn't working. So it was a very interesting
test. What kind of power do they have to the monument? What does it light up?
Lights, around the monument. So apparently it's, it definitely did have some static words. Like it kept going back to the word rot. So I don't know if the ghost was talking about the fact that the bird was rotting in the corner, or it was talking.
Did you get the bird out of there? Or did
you know what? I offered to get it out of there, but they said they'd have their cleaning people come in and get it out of there.
Okay. So a dead pigeon was there all night long.
Apparently, and man, it stunk. But then when we went to leave, everybody else had left. There were only a few of us. It wouldn't let us lock up. It kept saying the motion sensors were going up off on the second floor.
Okay.
So, you know, there you go. It's a totally different thing. This the system of all this stuff going on at once.
Right.
But it was interesting. But the only problem was there were too many people. I give props to Scare Society for getting the folks out there and getting them investigated. More there than I have ever gotten out on an investigation on my own. But the building wasn't big enough for that many people. So, you know, my tip for the week, you're going out investigating, judge the size of the building, bring the group that's the right side when you go.
Right. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do, especially when you're with a ghost group. You want everybody to get a little taste of the investigation, so you try to bring them with you guys, and it just doesn't work. When you got so many people, it just doesn't go down smoothly.
And as for the puck, I was really hoping it was going to start doing the dead parrot sketch from Monty Python.
So... Right. What? Polly want a cracker?
That's a beautiful Australian blue.
You know, I got all kinds of stuff tonight, Demon Hunter. I got man-eating fish spotted in Florida Lake because our good friends from Ghostly Talk Radio, Bonnie and Doug, are out in Florida right now on beautiful Treasure Island.
Yes, and I am very jealous of them right now.
Yeah, and they both have sunburns, so I think we're all even now.
Well, we're expecting 15 inches of snow over here, so...
Well, we're not here in Indiana. In the Indiana state, it's been probably 30 degrees and sunny every day. No snow, thank God. But this one comes out of Lake Osborne, Florida, guys. It says parents are keeping their children indoors and pet owners are tightening their leashes in fear of the 25-foot carnivorous fish. One witness claims he saw eat an entire adult alligator, Demon Hunter.
Ugh.
Yeah. It says wildlife officials are baffled by reports of the creature, which they initially dismissed as an urban legend. Fish and game investigator Steve Batters is piecing together information on the creature, including numerous eyewitness accounts, as well as photograph of the freaky fish taken from a distance. The data I've collected so far seems to suggest that we're dealing with a massive carnivorous fish between 20 to 30 feet in length, consistent with the Asian toman, T-O-M-A-N, species, better known as the snakehead fish, states Batters. Batters warns that the snakehead fish of this size would likely reproduce at an alarming rate and have a voracious appetite for flesh. So you should be on the lookout if you are in Osborne, Florida. They say that this fish comes from the... remember a long time ago, Demon Hunter, they had the walking fish. Remember the they had the pictures of the fish that would crawl across the highway to get to another lake?
Yep.
Well, they seem to have found one that's 20 to 30 feet right now. That seems to be eating alligators whole. Well, so that's out there.
It will. Do you remember Sci-Fi came out with a show a few years ago called Snakehead Terror?
I do remember that.
And the snakeheads were getting bigger and bigger, and at the end, like one like flopped in the air that was the size of like Moby Dick. So it was. I think somebody watched that movie and had a bad dream.
I think so, but you know what, Demon Hunter? You guys are going to have to bear with me on this one because I've had way too many Tecate, but this is very educational for the paranormal community, and I wanted to get this out, and this comes from Paranormal Magazine, guys, the stuff that I've been getting every month, and it's the stone tape theory. And the stone tape theory, Demon Hunter, is residual hauntings, basically. Everybody knows and loves residual hauntings. Of course, residual haunting is something like a DVD player or a TV being able to record the emotion or the event on some kind of a energy level and plays it back for some types of people, either psychics or the moon's aligned with Venus or whatever. And so I just gets a glimpse of this, guys. But that's a residual haunting. It has no type of – it really doesn't pay attention to us. It comes through. It's like if a guy hacks up his girlfriend in 1960 and every anniversary you see this recreate itself. Well, we went into this thing by Steve Parsons of Parascience, and he talks about the stone tape theory, which is residual hauntings. And he was talking about how things can be recorded, Demon Hunter, in the fabric of a building or an area itself. And no one ever really talks about, they always talk about you have residual haunts, you have intelligent haunts, but they never really talk about how. Well, this cat went into detail. And, you know, he says, how does the structure or an area store information to play back? And it says, researchers suggest that iron oxide, or rust particles within the environment might behave like iron oxide particles used to store info on video and audio tapes.
Well, if that's the case, my car, my old car, should have had a lot of ghosts recorded on it.
See? They're absolutely right. And it's talking about not only do we find out that there is a thing, it's residual hauntings, like you see Aunt May chop up your grandpa from 1960, you see it every year on the anniversary, but how does that happen? And the scientists think right now that it might be something called iron oxide, which is rust particles that store data, store information in the atmosphere and play that back to someone, Demon Hunter. So I thought that was very interesting that we actually have a name for something that might be causing this phenomenon.
Hey, Sean, before we go too much further, I want to say hello to somebody in the chat room. We should say hello to everyone in the chat room. But I want to say hello to this person because...
The Bishop!
It's the Bishop. Bishop
the
James
Bishop's
Long.
The Bishop's in the house.
In the chat room. So, hello, Bish.
Bishop Long.
But no, you're right, Sean. There's all this stuff going on. And sure enough, it could be recording. I remember a while back, everybody was saying it was crystals. If you had crystals in the ground around your home, that was what's storing the energy. And that
well, they've actually been doing, Demon Hunter, out at Parascience, they've been doing a long study on things like iron oxide in the atmosphere that can store these images, store these emotions. And it's also talking about water molecules. Water can store information. and they've been doing all kinds of research and stuff, ghost and water memory. It talks about how the molecular structure of water is broken down when they have, let's say you have a glass of water next to you and you're going through a very, strenuous time. You have a lot of stuff on your mind. Things are going on. Scientifically, it has been proven that the molecular structure of water breaks down to contain these memories is what their theory is.
Okay.
To contain these memories or these images on the water.
Okay. Now, does that mean that if you're riding a camel, the ghost of the person who used to ride that camel could hop up right next to you because they store so much water in that hump there? And
that's true. That could happen. That could happen. They're actually calling out for paranormal investigators at haunted locations to simply put water memory plays a part in recording apparitions, then locations in which such phenomena are reported should have higher levels of water or moisture within them. It says a simple hygrometer, humidity meter, can be used to measure the humidity levels within a location. There are also inexpensive meters available that can be used to measure the amounts of water within the structure and fabric of a building. Over time, we would start to build a database of the water and humidity levels at haunted sites and equally important control sites to allow comparisons to be made. The originally stone tape, which is residual hauntings idea, has only been tested in a very limited way, and no substantial evidence has ever been provided to support the hypothesis. of solid matter being able to record events. Perhaps the time has come to move away from the stone tape theory as a cornerstone explanation and instead start examining the water tape theory. And of course, when they talk about the water tape demon hunter, they're talking about when we go into a haunted location and there's a lot of things happening, like repeated haunts or residual hauntings. What is the humidity level in the basements? Is there water stored there that is not allowed to break down over the years? The water stored there and there's no way for it to evaporate or anything like that. They believe that it can hold intelligence.
Well,
and
you
play
know,
this
I remember first. Going on an investigation a few years ago with John Zaffis and his group, and we had a location, and it kept we kept having the humidity level go up and down by like 20 points in the same room with no open windows, nothing like that. There shouldn't have been any reason the humidity would change this much in a matter of seconds, let alone minutes. But it was. It was constantly jumping up and down. I used two different devices to measure it. So you know that was very interesting, the water level there.
Well, the scientists at Paris Science have came forward, and they have said that water is capable of receiving and holding human thought and emotion. So I thought that's very groundbreaking to the paranormal community, guys. I never thought in a million years that you would go into a haunted location, not only look for EMF meters or EMF levels and stuff like that, but now you need to look for humidity levels and water levels in the house.
So now, Sean, when you go to like one of those ghost tool stores online, you're going to see you can buy an EMF detector, you can buy a paranormal puck, you can buy a digital thermometer, and you can buy a bucket to carry your water in.
Right.
So it's a new paranormal device. We call it the bucket, and you can buy it at ghostanddemon.com. Now I'm going to have to actually get a bucket and put it up for sale on ghostanddemon.com.
Well, I got to say something real quick, Demon Hunter, because last week we were talking about what? We were talking about EVPs.
Right.
And we were talking about the beginning, the start of EVP, who discovered it, what was going on. And a friend of the show, Douglas, called me, and he said that I was dead wrong. And, guys, I was. I print my retractment statement right now. But it's true. Most of us are aware that Thomas Edison started his work in 1920, which is what I said, that it was Thomas Edison alone in the park that recorded the voices of a little girl, and that's how EVP started. Erase that from your memory, because I was wrong, folks. It was that Thomas Edison started his work in 1920 and was the inventor of the light bulb and the telephone. But who actually discovered EVP? It says on April 23rd, 1933, the American Society for Psychic Research, along with engineers from Western Electric Company, worked with studio engineers and produced DECA, D-E-C-C-A records, which were records that recorded communication with the dead through so-called dead recording equipment. Testing was conducted to eliminate any chances of recording fraud. A research engineer in the science of sound spoke several times into many unusually placed microphones, and moved his voice levels up to 3,000 to 5,000 cycles, way beyond any human range. Records were kept at the ASPR offices, but crucial tests stayed in the hands of studio engineers who refused to testify publicly that they had indeed recorded spirit voices. Then in 1938, guys, in 1938, an EVP was recorded on phonographic records. So there you go, guys. Right there, 1938, the first EVP was recorded known to man on phonographic records, and that was by DECA Records and the American Society for Psychic Research.
Well, you know, I think they were the first ones recording for EVP. I do seem to remember that there was another group that someone who accidentally first picked up the first recorded EVPs that are on record, but he wasn't.
See, it's interesting you say that, Demon Hunter, because I thought when I was listening to the tapes on ITC, there was one individual, and I can't find this again on the internet. If you guys want to search it out, go ahead, let us know, get into the forums, tell us about it. But there was one cat that went out with the phonograph and recorded bird noises and picked up the.
I'm sure that I heard the same story, Sean. I'm sure that I did.
I just can't find it anywhere, Demon Hunter. I can't find it anywhere.
That's your homework for this week, listeners. Go find that information for us. Before we go to break, Sean, let's thank the people who are in our chat room right now. We got Bishop James Long.
The Bishop and the Long.
The Bishop. And we've also got our friend Jairus. We've got Ghost Chaser. Ghost yes. Chase R. And R. She's a pirate. Paranormal Poison. And
she's a witch burner.
And Robin Valley. So thank you folks for tuning in. I know we're a little later than used to, but this is our time now for a while. We're working on some big projects, and we hope to make you all part of them soon. And why don't we take a quick break, Sean? And when we come back, we'll have our first guest this evening with, what's her name?
Our first guest up tonight. Let me grab my paperwork here.
Aren't we professional? We're just
Marley
great.
Marley Gibson, author of Ghost Huntress in the house.
Marley Gibson, okay. And a special happy birthday out there to Scott L. His birthday was the day after mine last week. He was 22nd. So Scott L. from Ghostly Talk, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Scott L. And stay tuned, guys, because we have Marley Gibson in the house up next. We're going to talk spooks, all kinds of crazy stuff. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after this.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Chris Balzano, and you're listening to The Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly trek across the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghostly community. There have already been several reports of haunted schools in the news this year, but this one is actually forcing the children to leave. In a story from Uganda, reported by the New Vision Online, students at the Lameo Aguada Primary School in Balabek Gem were forced to see their school closed after they became possessed. Ghosts of people killed during an LRA insurgency and buried in a mass grave nearby have taken control of the school, strangling some students and taking over the bodies of others and turning them violent, asking them to attack the other children. Local religious and political leaders were brought in, but were forced out of the school when they themselves were attacked. They are trying to straighten things out by exhuming the bodies in the mass grave and conducting more prayers. It may be one of the more controversial aspects of the paranormal, but for the first time a movie will actually be able to say Ouija board on camera without paying a royalty. Hasbro, which currently owns the trademark on the game, is taking its own shot at a movie about the famous spirit board. This week on an MTV blog, Hasbro CEO and executive producer on the film, Brian Goldner, revealed the movie is in production, and he also revealed a bit about the plot. According to Goldner, the movie will be a true horror movie that will look to explore the line between harmless parlor game and the gateway to hell. Hasbro and other companies who have held the ownership of the Ouija board name have over the years have avoided linking it directly to anything overtly occult or evil. But the recent popularity of the board game in paranormal television shows has convinced them that dollars might be worth the tainted image. Another Republican seeking the nation's hardest job may be forced to deal with an old paranormal connection. After his appearance at President Obama's speech this week, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal became the frontrunner to challenge Obama in 2012. The leader is considered to be a mirror of the president's youth and energy, but some of his religious and personal ideas might get in the way. According to Alternet and dozens of other news outlets this week, Jindal exorcised the spirit of Satan from a college girlfriend at Brown University. An article published in Jesuit magazine, the converted Hindu explains how he battled the demons inside his friend Susan before being witness to her salvation. The story is not a metaphor, but a genuine claim of true events which served to solidify his own religious conversion. It is unclear the effect that this will have on his national political career, but GOP war rooms are evaluating whether the public is ready for a demonologist president. Let us remember, he would be elected in 2012. Those are the haunted headlines for this week. If you want more information about these and other stories, please visit Ghost Village's news site at www.ghostvillage.com/news. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy, sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hi, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Sean, it's like being back on Blog Talk. It's so easy, except there's still a board to deal with here. It's
I know. You still got the soundboard. You got to push the buttons on, man. Push the button. Push the red button. But you know what? We got some great stuff out here tonight, Demon Hunter. I think we got some great information out to the ghost hunters out there. Very cool. Water stores memory. You know, I've always heard that since I started that, you know, if you got a place with like a moat around it, or you got a place you don't see so many moats around houses anymore, but a place with high wire content, water content, you get a lot of activity.
Well, you know, also, Sean, I get the idea that if you drink 8 glasses of water a day, you might not become a ghost as quick. But
right. Well, it's a Tecate. 8 ounces of Tecate a day keeps the doctor away.
I don't think that works. But, hey, who do we have sitting in the third chair over there, Sean?
Well, we got Marley Gibson, author of Ghost Huntress and co-author of Christmas Miracles in the house tonight. What's going on, Marley?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going. It's going. And we are very excited to have you here tonight and hear a little bit more.
Thanks for having me.
About Ghost Huntress.
Sure. It is a series for young adults, and it is a trilogy to start with. Hopefully, my publisher will want more. But the first book, The Awakening, comes out May 09, and the second book comes out in October. It's called The Guidance, and the third book is The Reason, and it comes out in May 2010. Mm. And it's basically about a girl from Chicago who moves to a small southern town, and she experiences her psychic awakening and then forms a ghost hunting team with fellow friends that she meets in her new town. And the adventures start from there.
Now, Marley, why ghost? Why would you start your career out with ghost? What happened when little Marley was little and did you see a spook? What happened?
You know, I wish I could say that, you know, my great-grandma visited me in the rocking chair or something like that, but I really can't claim ever seeing a ghost when I was little or anything. People ask me, you know, ooh, did you believe in ghosts before you started writing this series and stuff? And I never didn't believe in ghosts. I never did. I didn't care one way or the other. You know, I loved all the movies. I loved Ghostbusters and Poltergeist and all that good stuff. And but I just never really thought about it. And I had written a couple of books about sorority sisters, young adult books, under the pen name Kate Harmon. And it was a book that I wrote for a publisher. It was kind of a write-for-hire type thing. And I knew that I wanted something that I came up with that was my idea, that was my story. And I knew in order to sell in this competitive market that it really needed to be very high concept. And right. I went to a writer's conference, and there were a couple people from the New England Ghost Project who were doing a presentation on ghost hunting, and I sat in on their presentation and listened, and about halfway through it, the entire first book just passed before my eyes like a movie, and I'm like, yeah, I got to write a book about teenage ghost hunters.
Oh, now, yeah.
I noticed that you are a member of the New England Romance Writers.
Ooh!
That's what I started doing. When I first started writing back in 2001, I started writing romance novels, and unfortunately, no one wanted to buy them.
Right.
But I have like 17 manuscripts in the you know, under the bed. And then I switched to writing young adult, and that's how I sold.
Now, is there,
well,
is there
your,
a lot of...
I got your new opening for your next book. The Ghost Man's Hand Ran Through My Hair. Soft like a pillow.
Ghost Man's Hand. Hey, paranormal romance is one of the hottest selling fiction genres out there right now.
So
that's what
is,
I'm trying to tell everybody.
Are we going to be expecting some romance between these young ghost hunters?
Well, they are, yes. Yes. I mean, it's tame, you know, because it's a children's publisher, and we want Scholastic to put it in their book fairs and stuff like that, so...
you want it right next to Harry Potter, so it's...
So you can't Photoshop my head on, like, some guy's body and holding you in the wind, like Gone with the Wind kind of thing?
No Fabio body, your head on Fabio's body,
Yes!
Fabio
it's
would have
close to... already, Fabio's body with my head. That's
Fabio
that's
would have to have a lot of tattoos, Sean. He would have to have a lot of tattoos to make that happen.
They can put Fabio's pancake scared. Makeup on that.
See? You tell him, Marley.
So without giving away the story, what kind of ghost hunts do these young people get involved? Is this like Scooby-Doo? Are they riding around in a van? And
No, you know, I have to say, when I came up with the idea for the book, I wanted to really delve into the research of what real ghost hunters did and what was out there and what was legitimate and what, you know, I wanted it to be realistic. Yes, it's a fictional book, but I wanted it to be very realistic in terms of being true to what we ghost hunters do. And I started watching all the TV shows and, you know, I absorbed as much as I could then. And I started going on ghost hunts with the New England Ghost Project here in Boston, which is where I live. And you guys are where, in Connecticut?
I'm in Connecticut. Sean is in Indianapolis, Indiana. So he's
it's your other Irish brother station right here.
he's not expecting the 15 inches of snow tonight.
Yeah, tomorrow's commute's going to be a lot of fun. But so my husband and I started going on ghost hunts with the New England Ghost Project, and we did a lot of places up here in New England. We did the Sprague Mansion. We did the Houghton Mansion out in North Adams, Buttonwoods Museum in Haverhill, some stuff in Salem and stuff. But then we got involved with Dave Schrader's Darkness Radio events and started going to the Stanley, the Queen Mary, Rolling Hills, Waverly Hills.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and gotten to be real good friends with Dave Schrader and Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns and John Zaffis and Andy Calder. And
now, do you find Patrick...
I don't know about the rest of those guys, but Patrick Burns, I give two thumbs up. I love that guy.
Do you find Patrick's hair paranormal? Because that's one of the biggest talks on talk radio right now is Patrick Burns' hair. It's
paranormal in itself, right?
Yes, it is.
It's very romantic novel kind of, you know? I could see him with in a toga or something, you know?
Oh, good God. Don't encourage that. But, in fact, he's doing Ghost Talk up here in Salem in April, and I'm having the book launch for Ghost Huntress as the opening event for Ghost Talk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. Well, Patrick wrote the foreword for Ghost Huntress. He knew me all of a day and a half and offered to write it for me, so that was pretty nice.
I tell you what, in the field of paranormal people, Patrick Burns is one of the number one in my book. He's just a great guy all around, and I got the most respect for him.
He's a good guy.
But it's just a shame that you hadn't met us yet. Because we would have written the foreword for you, because we've been told for a long time that we're really forward. So
I would have wrote it. I would have wrote it. Ghost Man runs his fingers through my hair. The moonlight was shining through the window. Yeah. I did. I got all kinds of material for you, babe.
That's not
you
how you write a foreword,
Sean.
You
got it down.
But anyway, you got started in Ghost. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but what started your passion with the paranormal?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in it. I've read paranormal books my whole life and all the movies and, you know, The Others and Sixth Sense. I love stuff like that. I love the psychological, making you think, stuff like that, instead of the gore and crap like that. And my agent came up to Boston for a writer's conference, and this was after we had sold the Sorority Series book that I wrote, like the Right for Hire stuff. And she knew I wanted to do something on my own. and she got off an airplane, picked her up at the airport, and she's just a ball of fire to begin with. And she says to me, I have the name for your new book. It's called Divining Women. Go for it. And I had no idea what in the world that meant. And then I ended up at this the New England Ghost Project's session at this writer's conference. And they were talking about using divining rods and using dowsing. And I hit, all of a sudden, the word divining kind of jumped out at me. And that's when I started thinking about, divining women, divining girls. Wait, no, I need to write about teenage ghost hunters. It just
Golden Girls. We need a paranormal Golden Girls. Is what we need.
Golden Girls.
Yeah, great well, champions. Golden Girls.
I was in.
About
I was 40 in this
more years. Maybe I'll do that.
You can just. I can just see it, Sean. I was in a room, and my teeth began to chatter. So I took them out of the glass, and
yeah.
Got them out of the effordent.
Yes.
You said it. The free dent commercial. I did. You said. It. You guys are terrible. We're going to get sued by Golden Girl.
They're almost all
Please
dead
send
now.
Your hate mail,
matter.
Too.
Yeah. Send it to Marley Gibson.
No. No. So,
but you got all this stuff going on after all the investigations you've done, Marley. After all the time you spent in haunted locations, what do you think? Be honest now, sister. What do you think about paranormal activity?
I'm a believer. I've gotten way too many EVPs that I cannot explain. I haven't, but my husband got some video in a couple of locations we've been at of doors opening and strings moving. And we were at a darkness event last summer at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, Parium-torium, I don't know which it is. And we got an 18-minute video of a ball moving around all on its own.
I've seen that, actually. I've seen other people get that.
Yeah.
That's...
We have the quintessential ball video. We ended up on a special... I'm sorry.
But I got to interrupt you here because I think Sean has the quintessential ball video.
Romantic ball video. I got it, guys. I got it. It's on...
That's a band YouTube, right?
Fabio.
No, we got 18 minutes of this plastic ball, not plastic ball, but this rubber ball moving around all on its own. And it wasn't that it was just moving back and forth. It was moving not even in patterns. It would roll to one person, reverse directions, switch direction, go around me. It was just phenomenal how it happened. And we ended up doing a segment on the Biography Channel's My Ghost Story, which premiered on Halloween last year. And Mike and I got interviewed for that, and we got to show maybe like a minute of the video.
Yeah. Now, there's no other way that the wind could do that to the ball, right?
I think I'm losing you guys. You guys are all staticky.
I'm working on that. I'm not sure if it's one of the phones or... Let's see here. How's that? Nobody's there. Okay.
Yeah, but
that?
When you did the ball thing out at the Waverly Hills, there's no other way that anything could influence that outside of the paranormal?
Oh, guys, I can't hear you.
Hold on. Let's see what's going on here.
Is that better, Marley?
Try it now.
A little bit, yeah. There we
now,
go.
Is there any other way that ball could have moved besides paranormal?
Well... It was the middle of July. It was 98 degrees. It was midnight. There was no breeze. I would have given my right arm for there to have been a breeze because we were all sweating like animals. Mm-hmm. The floor was not crooked because it was an old sanitarium. Why would they have crooked floors for gurneys to go up and down? We did some tests with another ball that was in there, and it wasn't moving. I have no other explanation for it other than something manipulating it, because I would put my finger on it and stop it in its track, and I could feel something moving it underneath my finger, like wanting to take it away from me. And I would lift my finger, not even my finger, I just had like my fingernail on it, and I would lift it, and it would just shoot across the room over to my husband.
Wow. Now, did you provide that ball, or was that already there?
It was already there. People apparently bring those and leave them for the children that allegedly are the spirits of the children that are allegedly on the third floor. So we were just walking down the hallway. We had gotten separated from the people we were with that night, and we were trying to find them. We were walking down the hall, and something just kind of brushed my leg. And I looked down, and there's this ball moving around. And we stood there for probably a good 12, 15 minutes, and I looked at my husband. I'm like, are we videotaping this? And he said, no, that would be a smart thing, wouldn't it? So we turned the camera on, and we got about 18 minutes of footage. So we had almost an hour session with the activity.
Well, it's when something like that happens, I mean, did any of the people get scared? You know, did you use the reactions of the people who were there working with you to go towards your characters in the book?
Well, I have to admit, it was just me and Mike for the majority of the time. And he and I were just so completely geeked out over the fact that this was happening to us. And then a couple of people joined us because they wandered upon us and saw it happening as well. And we also had, there was a film crew from the local CBS affiliate that night that was doing shots. And he ended up with us for a while and interviewed us at the very end. But yes, I will be doing sort of a ball video kind of tribute in Ghost Hunters 3, which is the reason, which I have to write, which is due May 1st. So I have to get working on that.
Now, I just wanted to ask, too, you were there and this happened, and you said that you didn't bring the ball. Did you check it to make sure that it wasn't like one of those wobbly balls? Like you can go into Toys R Us and they've usually got one with a ferret attached to it, a fake ferret wobbling around the room.
Well, I'm starting to lose you guys again. I'm sorry.
I'm working on it. I am.
Okay. As long as you can hear me, I'll talk through it. It was one of those plastic balls that you get like at the grocery store, you know, those wire cages that you pull the ball out from the bottom of it.
Okay.
It was one of those, and I did pick it up. I bounced it a few times. There was another ball next to it, which was kind of like a ball you would have in PE class. It was red and a little heavier. But,
right.
Yeah, we did roll it. You know, we picked it up and tested it, and, you know, it was just a regular ball. It was funny because I work for a financial firm. And, of course, I share all my adventures with the sales guys. And I told them that we were going to be on this TV show. And one of the guys, he watched the TV show with his roommate. And his roommate's like, man, that was total crap. There was a hamster in that ball. And the guy that works with me was like, no, dude, I know these people. They're for real. They're for real. They wouldn't take a hamster with them.
You guys had paranormal hamsters on set with you. I know what's going on.
I tell you, I fess up, you know.
So what about this other book that you co-authored, Christmas Miracles? I know we're outside the season right now, but what's up with that?
Sure. It's called Christmas Miracles, and it is a book that I am co-authoring with Cecil Murphy, who is one of the New York Times bestselling authors of 90 Minutes in Heaven, which has been on the bestseller list for like 3-4 years.
It's kind of like 90 Minutes with Me, right? Yeah,
exactly. And Cecil and I have solicited literally miracles from people that have happened to them or their family around Christmas time. And it's very inspirational, and it's supposed to be, you know, moving and, again, inspirational for people. It's going to be on sale come October, and we're really hoping for some big sales for the Christmas season.
You know, I wish you had told me you were doing that, because every Christmas I go to bed, and no matter where I've moved to, I go downstairs on Christmas morning and there are presents under my tree.
That is such a miracle right there.
It is.
It's Santa Claus.
He knows where to find you.
I it's just a shocking thing to me, and I couldn't believe that it actually happened.
It's a big white guy with a beer gut that goes around the chimneys every year, and he dumps off presents to small children.
It's amazing he doesn't get shot, you know?
It could be one of those presents was a whiskey bottle. That's what I got when I was like 6 years old.
Ah, there you go. Now that's a Christmas miracle. That's a whole different story. That's a whole other book.
That's Christmas spirits. So
Santa needs Jack Daniels to keep him going.
A big white guy with a beer gut and a beard walking around on the rooftops. It's my Uncle Jigger. I didn't know. But that joke
went over. We did get some really amazing stories for it. I mean, we got, you know, people to go paranormal on you. We got a lot of people that had stories about angels. Angels that helped them out in a time of need, changing a tire on a car or visiting them in the hospital. Just a lot of prayers that were answered, a lot of money appearing at the right time. Just really
I could use that angel
story.
Right now.
What was that?
I could use that angel right now.
Seriously.
I need to buy some new equipment here. But well, so both these books are out. Where can people find them?
Available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. We're waiting to get word whether Walmart's going to pick it up, both the Ghost Huntress, Sam's. I mean, basically anywhere you can buy a book, you're going to be able to find this. I mean, you can pre-order Ghost Huntress on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now.
And people will be able to see you at Ghost Stock this year.
They can see me at Ghost Stock. They can get the book there, and I will also be at the Darkness Waverly Hills event in May.
Now, see, our good friend with perfect hair hasn't invited us to Ghost Stock. I don't know why.
You guys should come.
I know. We're going to crash Burns' party, baby. That's how we roll.
Now, let's face it, Sean. Anywhere Burns goes, there's a party.
Come up the 16th and come to the book signing.
See?
It's open to the public. And then we'll drag you in for the rest of the conference, too. So.
I want you to autograph my buttocks. That's what I want. I need that to happen.
Now, since there's going to be some romance in this and it's going to be a teen book, do you get into any of the scary aspects of hauntings?
What was that? I'm sorry, the static went.
Sorry, I was saying, since this is a kind of a romance book between teenagers and they're ghost hunting, are they going to get into any of the... Oh, there's the static again. Are they going to get into any of the scary aspects of ghost hunting?
Well, I will tell you this. The first book, which is the Awakening, the first book focuses on Kendall, who's my character. It focuses on her going through her psychic awakening and figuring out what in the world's going on with her. Is she, you know, does she need drugs? Does she need psychotherapy? What's going on with her? So that the whole first book is kind of a setup to explain what ghost hunting is and the equipment. And I try to take this very realistic approach to it where I have them sitting at a location for 3 hours with nothing happening because that's realistic. But it's kind of a mix of ghost hunters meets ghost whisperer meets Buffy. You know, it's as the books progress, they're going to get a little darker and a little scarier. But, of course, the first book, we have to set everything up.
Oh. Right. Kind of like Sean, the way Sean sets up girls when he first meets them. And...
Right, all the lines he gives them. And
But
you
your,
know.
Books are gonna, your books are going to be exciting. You're not going to disappoint them the way Sean does.
Marley, don't agree with that.
I'm just laughing.
Now, I got to say, Marley, if you were listening to the show earlier, we were talking about a new breakthrough science in paranormal science is that water can contain memory. What do you think about that? We're talking about residual hauntings. They think that water is the cause of residual hauntings.
Fascinating because I'm friends with Bill Murphy. You guys hear me?
Yeah, off and on.
I'm friends with Bill Murphy, who does a lot of interesting stuff with, I'm going to say this right, I hope, the piezological effect of, like, limestone and granite and things like that, and how it affects places like the Stanley Hotel. And the way he explains it, the way the rock formations carry energy, it would not surprise me at all that if water had the same quality.
Right. Right, I understand that because the beginning of time, men have said that supernatural activity is around water, bodies of water.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating theory, absolutely.
Well, Marley, I hate to say this, but we actually have to wrap up because...
Oh, my goodness, that was quick.
Ground Zero is going to come on after us, so we need to say on OmniSound, so we can't go too long. But we wanted to say again, you know, your website out there, get it out for everybody.
Sure. It's www.marleygibson.com. That's MarleyGibson. Or they can find me at www.ghosthuntress.com. And email me with any questions, and I hope folks will pick up the book and enjoy it and let me know what they think about it.
Well, Marley, it has been a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thanks so much,
and
guys.
I'm sorry,
and
there's
to
so
see
much...
you at Ghost Talk.
Well, we'll definitely try and get there. Now, Patrick was actually in the chat room under a hidden name, and I didn't realize that we were making Patrick Burns hair jokes while Patrick was listening in. But we would have made them anyway, so it's okay.
That's right.
But so he has officially invited us to Ghost Talk. So we will try and get up there to see you and Patrick and everything going on. And but we just want to take the chance to tell you we really appreciate your being here tonight. And we're sorry there's so much static tonight. I'm going to have to take the whole board apart. Water must have gotten in the system.
I'm going to blame it on the snow.
That could be, you know what? I didn't even think of that. It could actually be that.
Maybe so. It is, so. But no, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it, and I hope to meet you soon.
Well, we
All
hope
right,
so, too.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sean, can you believe our hour is up?
I can't believe it. It went so fast, my head's still spinning. I still got beer in the refrigerator. I'm not ready for this.
Well, you know, and it's time for us to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, and be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget to join us next week when our guest will be Stacy Horn, the author of Unbelievable, a new book coming out this month regarding the, let me get the full quote here for you. It's regarding the investigations into ghosts, poltergeists, telepathy, and other unseen phenomenon from the Duke Parapsychology Laboratory. So, you know, so and Stacy did a lot of work getting that book out. I'm looking forward to talking to her.
All right, there you go. There you go. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
And don't forget to check out, to log into our website and at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we really want to hear from you. And if... you, because I stepped on Sean's line before.
You did. Stepped on it. Oh, my goodness.
and don't forget, if you missed any part of this or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, you can check us out at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, Para X Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Podfeed community. And with that, Sean, good night, everybody.
Night, guys. We love you.
So say goodnight to the bad guys.